So this tonight's share, this week's share, is on Parsha Shemos, and the title of the share tonight is Miriam's relationship with Moshe. So tonight we're going to look at the beginning of the Parsha and the incident where Moshe is placed into the basket, into the Nile River, and Miriam, his sister, looks after him and actually finds Batya, and we'll see in the Pesukim what happens. So we're going to analyze the story. And it's pretty interesting as a story. Look in pasuk. Look in source number one, Parak Beis pasuk Aleph. It says, "Vayilch ish mibeis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi." So Amram, the Torah doesn't say who it was, but Amram married Yocheved, and Vatar Yisha Vatilad Bein, Vatira Oso Kitovu Vatzitzpaneu Shloshay Yerachim. So the woman, she conceived, and she had a baby boy, and she saw that he was very good, and she hid him for 3 months. So the Torah says that this woman, Yocheved, she didn't think that she could hide him any longer after the 3 months were up. So she takes a basket that is lined with pitch, and she puts him in the basket and puts him at the edge of the river, of the Nile River. So his sister is standing from afar to find out what happens to him, what happens to Moshe. So what happens is, as we're all familiar with, the daughter of Paro sees this basket with a baby, and she sends out her maidservant to grab the basket. And she sees in the basket is this crying child, Moshe. And she has a lot of pity on the child, and she says this is from the Jews. So this girl, this sister of the baby, Miriam, says to Bas Paro, "Should I get a woman to feed this baby?" And she says, "Vatomer la basparo lechi vatelechal ma vatikras yamayalet." So of course, what happens is that this girl, the sister, she goes and finds Yocheved, and it's funny, the Torah keeps all this stuff hidden, which we'll explain a little bit. And she finds the mother of the child, and she ends up taking care of the child, feeding the child. Vatomer la basparo helechi esayalet azev enikiuli vani atenas charech vatikach hayisha yalet vatinikeu. And the mother, Yocheved, ends up breastfeeding the child, and she's even paid for her service by Bas Paro. And when he grows up, he's taken to the palace to Bas Paro, and she names him Moshe at that point because she drew him out from the water. So the Torah explains the birth of Moshe and the first story with regard to Moshe, which was how he was placed into a basket, placed into the river. And it says, interestingly enough, in Pasuk Dalet, Vateisatzav achoso mirachok l'deo ma yeyase lo. So his sister stood from afar to find out what would happen to him. So the question that we're going to take up in this year is, what was the role of Miriam in this situation? And ultimately, we're going to try to understand her relationship to Moshe from the very beginning. So if you look in the Gemara on Vateisatzav achoso mirachok l'deo ma yeyase lo, so the Gemara gives us a little insight into the role of Miriam in this story. And it's also brought down in the Torah Tmima. It's Maseches Sota, Daf Tesam and Beis. The Gemara says that when a person does good, so they're repaid for their good, even more than the good that they originally had done. And it says, V'chein le'inyan ha'tova. So in source number two, it says, also with regard to the good, Miriam himtina la'Moshe sha'a achas. So Miriam waited for Moshe one sha'a. Shenamar v'teisatzav achoso mirachok. L'fichach nis'achvu la Yisrael shivas yamim b'midbar. And therefore, the reward for Miriam for waiting to Moshe, waiting to see what happened to Moshe for 1 hour, was that the Jewish people waited for her to travel for 7 days. As it says, Shenamar v'am lo nasa seif Miriam. So the Gemara says that Miriam standing from afar and watching what was going to happen to Moshe was apparently a good thing. It was a good midah, and she was rewarded for this. And the reward was that just like she waited for Moshe, so too the Jews waited for her later on in Bamidbar. So we have to understand, what was this good? What was the good of Vatita Mayaselo? Why was it such a good Amida Tova, a good perfection of Miriam, that she waited to see what would happen to Moshe? So that's the question, and why was she rewarded for that? So if you look in source number 3, what was the reward? In the story of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe, she's punished with Tzaras. And the Torah says, Vayitzak Moshe Elad Hashem Le'amor Kelna Refan Allah. So Aaron pleads with Moshe that he should daven for Miriam, and he davens to Hashem to heal Miriam. And Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ve'aviha Yerok Yerak B'faneah Halosti Kalim Shivasimim Tisagir Shivasimim Mechutz L'machaneh Ve'achar Te'aseif. So Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to heal her, but if she had spat in her father's face, wouldn't it be appropriate for her to be ashamed, embarrassed for 7 days? So therefore, the fact that she spoke Lashon Hara about you warrants 7 days of being a tzaras, or having tzaras, being a mitzora. And it says, "Vatisagir Miriam michutz machane shivasimim va'amlo nasa ad hiasef Miriam." So Miriam was sent outside the camps because she had tzaras. But the Am did not travel at all until she healed. It says, "V'achar nasu Ami mechatiros v'yachanu b'midbar paran." And then after she healed, after Miriam healed, so that's when the Jews traveled. So the story of Miriam over here in our parsha in Shemos was that she waited for Moshe for Shah Achas, and because she waited for Moshe Shah Achas, she was rewarded by the Jewish people and the Shechina and the Anan waiting for her when she was a Metzora and when she was sent out of the camp. So they didn't travel until she was healed. So the reward is indicating that there was some type of perfection, some type of good that Miriam was demonstrating that had something to do with waiting by Moshe in our Parsha. So what was that good? Why was it such a perfection on the part of Miriam that she was rewarded in this way? So that's a question that we want to take up, that she waited for Moshe. So the Medrash gives us a little idea, a little insight, a taste as to what she was doing over there. So it says, Va'amlo Nasa, it's source number 4, Lefisha Miriam Himtina Keshehushlach Bi'or. So it's on Bamidbar, and it says, why did the Jews not travel? Because she waited for Moshe when he was put into the Yor, Shenamar V'Tesatzav Achoso Merachok, which is our Pasuk. L'chach Para HaKadosh Baruch Hu La. Therefore, Hashem repaid her, She'aron HaKadosh the Anane HaKavod Himtinu La. So the Aron and the Ananim, they waited for her, Ad Shlo Nale HaAnan Me'al HaMishkan. And the Anan did not leave the Mishkan to travel until she was healed, Ad She'nitzola Mitzarasa, until she was saved from her Saras. K'shem Shehi Lo Zaza Melishmor Achia Ad She'nitzal. Just like she didn't leave to guard, to protect her brother, until she was Ad She'nitzal, until he was saved. Hare Mida K'neged Mida. So this is a Mida K'neged Mida. So the Medrash explains a little about what Miriam, what Miriam was attempting to do. It says that just like Miriam waited to see what would happen to Moshe in order to protect him, the Medrash says, Lishmor Achia Achenitzal, to protect him until he was saved. So too, Hashem waited for Miriam to travel Achenitzola Mitzarasa until she was saved from her Taras. So the Medrash teaches us that Miriam's perfection or good was that she didn't abandon her brother. She was protective of him, and to the point where she was more protective than anybody else, and she followed him. Apparently, Moshe's mother, Yocheved, did not go. It was only Miriam. So the perfection was that she was protective over him, and she wanted to make sure that he was safe. So the question is, so isn't that just a natural emotion that a sister might have for a brother? What exactly is the greatness of this, that the Shechina waited for her later on in Bamidbar? Is there something more here that we could say about the greatness of Miriam in this situation? So I think that there is some insight here. And if you look in the next Pasuk, what was the situation happening? What was going on in Mitzrayim at that time? So in Shemos Parak Aleph, the last pasuk of Parak Aleph, Chaf Beis, Vayitzav Paro L'chol Amo Le'mor Kol Abena Yilod Hayeoro Tashlichu V'chol Abas Techayun. So at that time, Paro had decreed that all the boys be thrown into the river and all the girls be saved. So that time was a very treacherous time for any baby boy. So any baby boy born had the potential to be killed and thrown into a river. So maybe the idea is, so with that information, with the background information, maybe it sheds light on the perfection of Miriam even more so, because of the fact that, see, Yocheved did not follow the baby. She put the baby in the basket and left the baby, and none of the other family members really followed him. So why not? And why was she the only one? So apparently, it would seem like there was a fear there that what would happen, there was a possibility in the pshat level that Moshe could have been picked up and thrown into the river, because that was what was happening at that time. And there was that possibility was a reality. So the fact is that a parent, it's very difficult for a parent to witness that, or for any sibling to witness that, to witness the death, the murder of your sibling or your child is very difficult. And her parents, they couldn't endure that. So they couldn't face the reality that their child might be destroyed, might be killed. So they couldn't see it. A lot of times you can't see that. You can't put yourself in that type of vulnerable situation, because the potential downside is too harsh. And I think that's natural. And I think Yocheved and Amram and Aaron, they weren't there. It was only Miriam that was there. Why? Because it's not that they didn't love Moshe or they didn't feel protective over Moshe the same way Miriam did, but it's that they couldn't endure the possibility that Moshe might be picked up and thrown into the river. They couldn't watch that. Whereas Miriam, it's not that she didn't care, but she was able to overcome that fear. Whereas normally a person might fear seeing that and having to put themselves in a situation where that might occur and they might have to witness that. Miriam, her protectiveness or her desire to make sure that her brother was safe, even though there was a lot of outside of her control and the probability on a pshat level was that he would be killed, but nevertheless, she still felt like it was her duty to try to protect him as best as possible. So now that sheds light on the perfection of Miriam. See, the perfection of Miriam wasn't just this natural protectiveness that a sibling might feel for another sibling, but the perfection of Miriam was that she was able to overcome the fear of potentially seeing her brother being thrown into a river. And that could have happened. And she was able to overcome that in the face of that and able to really demonstrate her desire to protect him and her desire to potentially see a good that might happen to him and try to protect him. So that's the perfection. The perfection isn't just the protectiveness, but it's the protectiveness with the ability to overcome the fear that he might be taken, he might be thrown into the river, and she might have to see that. So that I think sheds light on Miriam, and that's why she was rewarded on such a high level by Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to demonstrate that the Himtina was really not just a natural Himtina, but it was something that she had to overcome. There was an emotion, a fear that she had to overcome in order to protect him, in order to demonstrate a certain type of Shmira over her brother. So that's the first idea. So the first idea is that Miriam's relationship with Moshe was such that on the one hand, she loved him, and she wanted to protect him, and to the point where she was able to overcome a fear that prevented her parents and her brother from doing the same. And the fear was that they might have to witness, or she might have to witness his murder. But nevertheless, she felt like it was the right thing to do to stand there and see and make sure that he was okay. And ultimately, it paid off because she ends up protecting him ultimately. So that's one approach. And one approach more on the pshat level is that Miriam's good was that she was able to weigh the possibility of him being killed and murdered, but nevertheless protecting him or trying to protect him. Okay, so that's the first possibility. So there's three Gemaras on this. That's the first Gemara. The next Gemara is brought down by the Torah Tmima as well, and it says something else, and it's tied to one of the questions that we asked, which was that the story seems very hidden. It never says Miriam outright. It never says Yocheved. It never says Amram. So why is the story so hidden? So the Gemara in source number 6 says, "Vatesatzav achoso mirachok, Amar Rav Yitzchak, pasuk ze kulo al shem shechina namar." So he wants to say that the whole pasuk of "Vatesatzav achoso mirachok" is all an allusion to the shechina, to Hashem's presence. "Vatesatzav dechsev vayavo ad Hashem bayisyatsev." So the idea of "Vatesatzav" to stand, it says by Shmuel that Hashem came and he stood. Achoso, when it says his sister, it's not Miriam. Dichsev emor lochachma chosia. It's really Hashem, because chachma, like Rashi says, she eitzol kadosh baruch hu umipiv. Shenemar ki Hashem yitain chachma mipiv das usvuna. That chachma is really adjacent to Hashem because it comes out of his mouth. So Emor l'chachma achosi ad achi in the pasuk achosi v'tesatzav achoso is a reference to Hashem. Merachok dichsiv merachok ad Hashem nirali. By Yirmiyahu it says that Hashem appeared to me from afar. Ladas dichsiv ki kel deos ad Hashem. Hashem has all knowledge. Has all knowledge. Ma dichsiv ma Hashem l'kecha shoel ma dichsiv ma Hashem shoel imeimach. The word ma in the pasuk it says v'tesatzav achoso merachok ledea ma. So what is ma Hashem elokecha shol meimach? What does Hashem ask from you? And then it's a yase dichsiv ki lo yase Hashem elokim davar lo dichsiv vayikra lo Hashem shalom. So the Gemara says that the pasuk is very cryptic. Vatesatzav achosu merachok lidya ma yasalo is not a reference to Miriam, but the pasuk says it's a reference to the Shechina, and it's in each part of the pasuk is referencing a pasuk in Navi. That also talks about, and also in Tanakh, in Torah as well, a pasuk that refers to the Shechina, to Hashem intervening. So the whole pasuk, v'tisatzav achosu merachok, is really a remez to the idea of the Shechina being present when Moshe was in the basket. And I think the idea of, there's no marsha on this. So let's look at the marsha. But the basic question is, so what is this idea? What is the concept that the Torah is trying to allude to by saying that it's the Shechina, it's not really Miriam? So the Marsha gives an interesting point, an interesting idea on this Gemara. He says, "Vatesatzav achoso, omeri pasuk zekulo al shem Shechina." So delafib shuto malo lahaskir kolze. So the Marsha says, based on the pshat of the pasuk, why does it have to mention all these things? Delo avale lahaskir rak hasiba hanifla shematzu bas paro biyor. The Torah should have just mentioned that Paro's daughter found him. And it could have just said that Miriam went and said, should I get a menekes? Why does it mention v'tesatzav achoso merachok? It's really unnecessary from a pshat level. So what's it trying to teach us? That really God's actions in this world sometimes are far from man's knowledge of them. So there's a lot of hidden actions on the part of God. Just like in this story with Moshe, that Hashem was really intervening the whole time. So when he was thrown into the Or, the thought was that Miriam's Nevuah, which we'll see later on, but Miriam had a Nevuah that Moshe was going to be the Moshiach, that he was going to be the savior of Klal Yisrael. So they were all convinced that that the Nevuah was over once he was sent into the Or. Come on, Shavia Tafchal Rosha, like it says that her father like slapped her across the head, which we'll see later on about this nevuah. Aval Haisa Siba Atmos Shetimsa Uso Bas Paro. There was an independent reason that Bas Paro found them. Ushali Dezen Isgadol Beinei Kol, and through this Moshe grew up in the palace. V'ayin Sham Shashchina Kivyachol He Begalos Im Yisrael. So it's trying to allude to the idea that the Shechina is in Galus, in exile with Yisrael. When they were in Mitzrayim, the Shechina was still there. Sha'al kein kara achoso. That's why the pasuk says achoso. Shehi begalus imahen. Achoso is a reference to the fact that Hashem is in, the Shechina is in Galus with the Jews. Uvitchilas gulasan. The beginning of their redemption. Haisa hashchina nitzavta sham. Dahainu vatesatzav achoso. So Moshe being placed in the Or was the beginning of their redemption. And the Torah is teaching us that Vatesatzav Achoso is a reference to the Shechina, that the Shechina was present and it was about to intervene on the part of Klal Yisrael. And it was very far from man's understanding at this point in time. Ayidei Moshe. And it would occur, the Geula would occur through Moshe. Shehaya bo hayira b'yoser shlemos. He had the most Yiras Hashem. K'mash HaKasov Mad Hashem Elkecha. So he's quoting all the psukim in the Gemara. Sha'amrubo, Shehi Milti Milsa Zutrasi Lagabe Moshe. Yira was an easy thing, a small thing in the eyes of Moshe. Shahayabo Yira Hamitis, he had the true fear of God. Vikamar Kiloyased Hashem Kim Gila Sodo, Kimosha Gilik Farzela Miriam, Visiyam Vayikra Lo Hashem Shalom Lahavi Al Yado Shalom, Shiyatu Yisrael Beshalom Misham. So he says that the Pasuk, so the Marshal says interestingly, based on the Gemara, that what is the point of this Pasuk representing the Shechina? It's trying to show us in the Torah that this was the beginning, Haschalas Geulas Yisrael, and the divine intervention was acting on Moshe and making sure that Moshe was safe, despite, that's what it means, Vatesatzav Achoso Merachok. It means that the Shekhinah was present, but it was present in a way where man couldn't see it, where it wasn't clear. It wasn't an open miracle, it was a Nes Nistar. So the concept that the Gemara is alluding to, according to the Marsha, is that the Torah, when it says Vatesatzav Achoso Merachok, it's not referencing Miriam, rather it's referencing the idea that the Shekhinah was present and Hashgacha was enacted in this situation in order, and this was the beginning of the Geula, in order for the Geula to occur through Moshe. So the Torah is hiding this fact because of the fact that it's hidden. This idea was hidden from man. It was a Nes Nistar. It was Hashgacha that was not so clear. It was not so obvious. So the Torah is teaching us the different types of or methods of Hashgacha, that of Nistar, being Nistar, when Hashgacha, when divine intervention is hidden. And it's showing you in this situation that the divine intervention was present. And it was present in a way where we might not see it. But it was clear that the divine intervention, the Shekhinah, was meant in order to facilitate this end goal of the Geulas Yisrael. So this was the Haskalah. This was the beginning of Geulas Yisrael. That Hashem and the Hashgacha with regard to Geulas Yisrael, that Hashem was intervening to make sure, to ensure that Moshe was safe. So the second shot... Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Why would they have to say that it's not the pshat? Because it does. I mean, it fits in with the pshat that Miriam was there, and it also fits in with the thing that they have to wait for her. The whole thing that like was her reward.
Yeah.
So why would they have to say? I mean, they could say the Shekhinah also, but you know, both ideas.
You mean why the Gemara? Because I think that. The Gemaras, these are both Gemaras in Sota, but the first Gemara, I think, is going based on the Pshat. Vatisatzav Achoso is Miriam. So what is it? It's a reference to Miriam. But the second Gemara is noticing that, the Marsha is saying, the second Gemara is noticing that the Pasuk is unnecessary. But I think also the second Gemara is noticing that the Pasuk is ambiguous. It never says Miriam. It doesn't say Vatisatzav Miriam Mirachok. So it's very ambiguous. So why is it ambiguous? Oh, because it's alluding to something other than Miriam, the idea of Shekhinah. So I think that's why the second approach is more of a medrash, and the first approach is more pshat. So the pshat is that it was Miriam, that Miriam was standing there and watching him. But the medrash is saying, no, that Miriam, it's not referencing, it's not talking about Miriam, it's really talking about the idea of the Shekhinah, that the Shekhinah was present, and this was the Haskalah's Geula, the beginning of the Geula process. Yeah.
Okay. Idea that Miriam was there, but we don't need that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, exactly. It's not. They're just. I think it's just two layers of the story. The pshat layer is that it was Miriam, and it's teaching us a perfection in Miriam, that she was able to overcome a fear of potentially seeing him drowned. And the other side, the other possibility is that no, that the Torah is really hiding the fact that it was Miriam because it's teaching you that there was another factor here, that the Shekhinah was beginning to intervene on behalf of Klal Yisrael in order to facilitate their Geula at this point. This was the beginning point. So that's the other possibility. And that's based on the fact that the Pasuk is really unnecessary, and also it's hidden. The ideas of the Pasuk, Miriam, is hidden. So maybe that's the second approach. So the last possibility is really tied to, it really is Miriam. There's another Gemara in Sota which says it really is Miriam, but it has a different idea. So if you go to the Torah Tamima highlight, kind of he learns this Gemara that it was Miriam, and we'll use the Torah Tamima and move off the Torah Tamima. So Torah Tamima in source number 9 says Nira on the Shekhinah Gemara Nira derotzen lomar al shem nevuasa shehis nava al Moshe shu ased lehoshias Yisrael, that Miriam had this nevua that Moshe was ultimately going to be the one to save the Jews. Kimavur bedrasha haba. The ata shishlichu liyor, once he was thrown into the yor, umdaladas ma'i hasof nevuasa. So really, Miriam wanted to find out what would happen to the nevuah that she had. She was curious. She had a nevuah that Moshe was going to be the Moshian. He was going to save the Jews. So her standing by the yor was really her trying to confirm that her nevuah, or how her nevuah would really play out. And it was really an idea in Miriam studying her nevuah and figuring out how the nevuah would actually express itself. So what is this nevuah? So we'll explain this a little further. What is this nevuah? And we'll have a different idea of Miriam. So nevuah is in the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah. So before Amram and Yocheved got back together, they had originally separated from one another. There's a famous Gemara about Miriam, how Miriam convinced them to get back together. She had a nevuah that they would have a child that would be the savior of the Jewish people. So in Shmos Rabbah, source number 10, it says, Vatesatzav achoso merachok. Lama umda Miriam merachok. Why did Miriam stand from afar? Amar of Amram b'shem Rav, l'fisha haisa Miriam misnabe'es ve'omeres asida imi sh'teled bein sh'yoshias Yisrael. So Miriam had this nevuah, had this prophecy, that my mother is going to have a child who's going to save the Jewish people. Kivan shenola Moshe nismale kol abayis ora. So when Moshe was born, the Torah says, not openly, but the Midrashim say that the house lit up it was lit up when he was born. Amar aviha v'noshkeh arosha. So Amram was so happy and he sensed that this nevuah was true, that he kissed her on the head, he kissed Miriam. Amar la biti niskayma nevuaseich. He said to her, my daughter, your nevuah has come true. So he sensed when Moshe was born that there was something different about his birth, and it was partially confirming Miriam's nevuah that he was special, and therefore he kissed her. Hanu dichsiv atikach Miriam anevia achos Aaron asatof achos Aaron v'lo achos Moshe. So it says by Bishalach after Az Yashir that Miriam the nevia the sister of Aaron took this musical instrument. So why does it say achos Aaron v'lo achos Moshe? Elisha Amra nevuazu kishi achos Aaron v'adayin lo nolan Moshe, because she had said this nevuah that Moshe was going to be the savior for Klal Yisrael, which was culminated in Oz Yashir, before Moshe was born, only when she was the Achos Aaron. Only after Aaron was born, before Moshe was born. That's why she's called Achos Aaron. Because this was a fulfillment of the nevuah when Moshe saves or takes the Jews out with Hashem. Obviously Hashem did it, but Moshe was the leader. And that's the fulfillment. That's why it says Achos Aaron, not Achos Moshe. The Chivon Shitilua Lior, but once Moshe was placed into the basket, into the Nile. Amda ima v'tafcha la rosha. So her mother hit her on the face. Amra la biti v'heichan nevuah sayich. And she said to Miriam, where's your nevuah now? V'hanu dichsiv v'tesatzav achoso merachok. Ladas mayehe besof nevuasa. So that's why it says that Miriam waited afar, because she wanted to find out what would happen with her nevuah. And ultimately, obviously, nevuah came true. But the story is that initially she was praised by her father. And when they sensed that Moshe was unique, so they said, oh, your nevuah came true. But then afterwards, when they saw that he was placed into the Or, apparently it didn't fit into their idea of what the nevuah should be. And they gave up and they were upset with Miriam. And Miriam, she still had this this belief in her nevuah, that her nevuah was true, and therefore she stands from afar and she watches Moshe to see what would happen to him. Okay, so let's look at, so what is this idea? What's this concept in Miriam that the others didn't get? Like, why didn't the others see this? Why didn't Yocheved see this? So what did Miriam see in her nevuah and that they didn't see, that they just gave up on the nevuah right away? So if you look in source number 11, just to go back a little bit, what does it mean that it was light? It says, Vatar Yisha Vatele Ben, Vatero Oso Kitovhu Vatispaneu Shloshe Yerachim. So Miriam had this nevuah, and then Moshe's born. And when he's born, it says that he was very good. Kitovhu. And Rashi says, Kitovhu Kishinola Nismale Habayis Kula Ora. So there was a nes that occurred, according to Rashi, that the house filled with light. And the Sifsei Chacham says, how do you know that from Tov? It says, Ki ksiv hachle ki tov, ul'halon omer v'yarlokim esha or ki tov, malahon or afkan or. When Hashem creates light, he says, v'yarlokim ki tov, and the word tov is a reference to light. So as soon as Moshe was born, there was a miracle that occurred, that the house lit up. So what is that idea? What is the idea of the house lighting up? What's the concept? So it's true, even if it happened, if it's a real nace that occurred, so what is it trying to teach us about Moshe? So I think the idea of light is typically associated with knowledge, because you see by Moshe Rabbeinu that it says Ki Karan Or Panav, that his face was lit up. I think the Rambam talks about light being a reflection of his knowledge, of the knowledge of a person, that when Moshe gained or attained a certain level of knowledge, his face had lit up to reflect the knowledge that he had, that he had gained. So the idea of the light when he was born was to demonstrate that Moshe had a certain potential, that he had a potential for a certain level of knowledge beyond the average person. And that's why there was this nace. The nace was reflecting the extreme potential that Moshe possessed in it from his birth. This potential to attain a certain level of knowledge of God that no other man could attain. And that's what the idea of lighting up the house was supposed to reflect, the potential of Moshe, that it was a hashgacha that he was born with such a potential. But then it says he was put into the, like the Medrash says, that he was put into the Or and they gave up hope. But Miriam didn't give up hope. And later on, it says in 14, in Shemos by Beshalach, it says, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviyah Achus Aronus HaTov B'yadah Vatitzenu Kol Hashem Acharev B'supim Uvim Cholos. So Miriam, after Oz Yashir, she goes out and she starts dancing and singing with her with the other women. And she takes out all these musical instruments. And all the women are singing about the greatness of Hashem, that he destroyed the Mitzrayim by Yamsuf. And Rashi says, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviyah, Hecha Nisnaba Kishaisa Achos Aaron. So it brings down the Medrash, that when was she a Nevuah on Moshe? When she was old, before Moshe was born, when she was Achos Aaron, Kodim Shinol on Moshe. Amra Asida Imi Shetela Bein. She said that my mother is going to have a son. Davar Acher Achos Aaron Lefisha Maser Nafshal Lekishin Itzdara. The other reason is because Aaron was the one who gave up his life for her when he begged Moshe to daven when she got Saras. Nikris Al Shemo. So that's why she's called Achos Aaron. So what is this idea of Achos Aaron? What's the concept? What's the, according to this Medrash, what exactly was Miriam doing here? She had a Nevuah. So she went to go follow Moshe to see how the Nevuah would express itself. So what is the perfection here? What's the idea of Miriam and her relationship with Moshe? So I wanted to try one possible concept to explain this last piece in the Gemara. So maybe it's saying that Miriam was able to separate compartmentalize her two senses of Moshe, her two ideas of Moshe. One was that Moshe was her little brother, and it's normal to have certain sibling emotions towards your brother or your sister. And that was one idea that Miriam had. But the other was that even before Moshe was born, she was told that Moshe was going to be Moshiach in Yisrael. So the other way that Miriam related to Moshe was as the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, somebody separate from her, somebody not her little brother, but really a vehicle of the Hashgacha in order to create the salvation or bring the salvation to Klal Yisrael. So I think that the Medrash is showing us the perfection of Miriam. So all the others, they gave up on the Nevuah because they were unable to separate their personal feelings for Moshe and the idea that Moshe was the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. They were unable to compartmentalize those two ideas. They were intermingled with one another. So as I said before, it's very difficult to watch your child be murdered. And I mean, it's impossible. So the idea was that Yocheved and Amram, they couldn't separate their perspective of Moshe from their personal feelings towards him, that they were his son, and the idea that he was the Moshiach. So that's why they were unable to really believe in the Nevuah, and they were unable to follow Moshe once he was placed in the Yamsuf, because they couldn't really separate themselves from those emotions that they had, the fear, as I said before. But the other idea is that Miriam's perfection or nature was such that she was able to compartmentalize her perspective of Moshe into two separate compartments. One was Moshe as her brother, which would have prevented her from really following him in the Nahar, in the Nile, because as a brother, as a sister, following a brother, you know, seeing him potentially murdered would have been too harsh. But on the other hand, she related to him purely as a Moshiach Shel Yisrael. And the other compartment allowed her to view him as this vehicle of Hashgacha. And that's why she was able to follow him, because she was able to separate and not intermingle the emotions that she felt for him as a little brother with the idea that she recognized through her Nevuah that he had special qualities and that he was really destined with the Hashgacha to bring the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So maybe that's an explanation for why she's called Achos Aaron and not Achos Moshe. A different explanation. I don't think Rashi says this. But why is this Achos Aaron? It's Achos Aaron because her feelings for Aaron were natural feelings, like a brother and a sister normally have. But her feelings for Moshe were different. She related to Moshe in one sense as a brother, but in another sense purely as a Moshiach Shel Yisrael. And in the moment that Moshe had taken the Jews out of Mitzrayim with obviously the Hashgacha, and they were saying Az Yashir, in that moment she only had one brother. She only had one natural brother, which is Aaron. Moshe, in her mind, was really the Moshiach Shel Yisrael in that moment, and that was the fulfillment of her nevuah. But at that moment, she was really just Achos Aaron, because Aaron was the brother that she had the natural attachment to, whereas Moshe was the brother that she had this detachment to, in some sense, not in a negative sense, but a detachment in a certain sense, and almost viewed him as a vehicle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a vehicle of the Hashgacha that he, in terms of his existence. And she had that before he was born. So she was raised with two perspectives of Moshe, with one perspective of him as her brother and with another perspective of him as the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. And she was convinced of both. So she was able to separate her idea of Moshe as her brother and see him purely as the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. And that was really Vatesatzav Achoso Merachok. It's demonstrating Miriam's ability to relate to Moshe on these two levels and not allow her perspective of him as her little brother affect her perspective of him as the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. So what exactly was the, where do we see this play out? Also in the idea that she got a Menekes. See, the Gemara says, the Torah Tmima in source number 16 says, Menekes mina Evrios, Maishno mina Evrios, Melamed Sheikh Ziru al Kol Mitrios, Lianek v'lo Yonak. That really Bas Paro, she wanted a Mitri, an Egyptian woman to breastfeed Moshe, but she couldn't find any that could. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Pesha Asid Ledaberi Mashchina Yanek Dover Tame. So Hashem said it would be inappropriate that the mouth that speaks to the Shechina, that he should feed from something that's Tame, that's defiled. V'hainu Dichsiv Es Mi Yora De'av Es Mi Avin Shmuah Gimulei Mechalav Atikei Mishadayim L'mi Yora De'av L'mi Avin Shmuah L'gimulei Mechalav Latikei Mishadayim. So the Gemara is saying that it would be inappropriate for Moshe to be fed by a Mitzrius. It would be inappropriate because he was going to speak with the Shechina. So therefore, Miriam was instrumental in facilitating the idea that he be breastfed by his mother. So what is that idea? What's the concept? The concept is that really, from the standpoint of Moshe's potential, it was essential for him to develop a relationship with his birth mother and also be raised in a philosophically supportive situation, which Yocheved and Amram could provide for him when he was a baby, when he was a child. And it would be potentially harmful for him as the Moshiach Shel Yisrael to have a psychological attachment to Bas Paro and to have a certain relationship to the ideology of the Mitzrayim. So she recognized that, and she recognized that was part of the perfection of Miriam, that because she saw that Moshe was this Moshiach Shel Yisrael, she recognized the importance of his background being a background of one attached to his family, attached to the ideas and the philosophy of Klal Yisrael, as opposed to the philosophy of the Mitzrayim. So that's really the expression of Miriam's understanding of Moshe as the Moshiach, that she thought it was so important. She ran after Bas Paro, and she thought it was so important that his mother, Yocheved, be the one to breastfeed him. Meaning, she sensed, she recognized, she saw him as the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, and she said, my brother has to have a background. He has to be attached to Yocheved, and it would be inappropriate for him to just be fed by a regular Mitzrius. It might create a distortion in his psyche. It might create an attachment to the ideology of the Mitzrayim, which would be inappropriate for the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, for the one who's gonna have the greatest idea of Hashem. Okay, so that's really the end of the shiur. So let me just summarize. So there's really three main points. So the question is, what exactly was Miriam's role in the beginning of the Parsha, where it says that she's watching Moshe and she ends up getting a Menekes, which is Yocheved, for her brother? So there's three approaches. One approach is that it shows you that Miriam was able to overcome her fear of seeing Moshe be destroyed and be drowned, because that was the environment at the time. And instead, she was able to be him Tinala. So she was able to wait for him and really try to protect him, despite the fact that she knew in the back of her mind, on a pshat level, that he might be destroyed. So that was a good in itself, a midah tova that she's expressing. So that's the first idea of Miriam, first perfection. The second idea is that the Torah is really not alluding to Miriam, it's alluding to the Shechina, and it's teaching us that the Shekhinah was present, and there was Hashgacha here, because this was Haskalas Geulas Yisrael. And even though it was Nistar, it was hidden, the Torah is being Merame, it's hinting to this idea through the ambiguity of the Pasuk, V'atizatza V'achoso, and the Gemara quotes all these different psukim to show you that the Shekhinah was there, that there was really divine intervention in Moshe being saved, and everything was in order to facilitate this end goal of Geulas Yisrael, and it's teaching us this in a hidden way. And the last idea is that Miriam was able to relate to Moshe in two different ways. One was as a little brother in a natural way, and the other one was as the Moshe Anshel Yisrael. And because she was able to see him as the Moshe Anshel Yisrael, she was therefore able to watch him in the Nile River, the Nahar. She was able to watch him because she was able to see him in those two manners, as opposed to her parents. They were unable to, and her brother, they were unable to separate the two, Moshe as Moshion and their idea of him as their brother or their son, and therefore they couldn't watch. But Miriam was able to watch because she was able to relate to Moshe in one sense as a pure Moshion Shel Yisrael without her fears and her emotions of him as my little brother interfering with that. And we see that by the Az Yashir, that she's called Achus Aaron, not Achus Moshe, because at that moment, her real natural sibling attachment was to Aaron. But she, at that moment, Moshe was clearly the Moshe Anshel Yisrael, and that was the fulfillment of her nevuah, and she related to Moshe as such. And the last idea was the expression of Miriam's understanding of him being the Moshion, that she was so insistent on getting a Meinekes, Yocheved being his Meinekes, because she understood the necessity for the Moshe Anshel Yisrael, for Moshe to have a background, to have a psychological background where he was attached to his mother as opposed to being attached to a Mitzri. She didn't want him to be attached to a foreign ideology. So I think that's the point. All right. Any questions on the shir? Okay, everybody, thank you. Have a good Shabbos. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Thank you.